This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
You're listening to the latest edition of Truth That Transforms with Pastor Bo DeFrana.
Spiritual conversation is also the habit of, I'm going to go ahead and say it this way, the saints. Now, saints, if you're like, ooh, I don't like that word, just know, biblically, saints are believers. Saints are Christians. Saints means holy ones. So that's you and I. If we're in Christ, we've been made. He said, be holy, for I am holy. We have been set apart, is what that means. We're sanctified. And so you and I are, by biblical definition, saints.
Have you ever noticed how certain words just feel distant? Like they belong to someone else. Saint is one of those words. You hear it and think of statues, history books, or someone far more spiritual than you. But what if that word actually describes you? Not because you're perfect, but because you've been set apart. Today, Pastor Bo shares that the Bible calls believers saints, not as a title you earn, but as an identity you receive. If you're in Christ, you've been made anew, and you've been filled with His Spirit. Now here's Pastor Bo as he continues his message, Spiritual Conversation.
It is through the preaching of the Word in formal settings and testifying to the Word in informal conversations that the power of God is known. That is how God has chosen to reach people. If you think maybe even for us, we went through this room, how many of us have came to Christ, perhaps as a result of hearing the word, maybe in a formal setting, or hearing the gospel in an informal conversation? Many of us would say, well, yeah, that's how I was reached. Okay, I wanted to give you that up front, some definitions and a wonderful quote that helps summarize what I'm trying to say. Now, I want us to look at this first. I want to give you some general references in the Bible of spiritual conversation on this topic. I want us to now back up, and let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 6, because here's the first point I want to make with it for us today. Spiritual conversation is used in everyday life. Okay, so let's just take that maybe burden off ourselves of thinking when I have to have a conversation with someone, it needs to be Tuesday at 3 o'clock, I want to meet you, I have to talk to you. You know, it's like, not so much. It's more like this gets baked in cake all in everyday life, spiritual conversation. Deuteronomy 6, verse 7 says, you shall teach them. And I want you to notice very slowly, this is Deuteronomy 6. This is a very significant chapter in the Bible. Moses talking to the nation of Israel about the greatest commandment, which is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with with all your soul and with all your might, it says in verse 5. And then it says in verse 7, so you shall teach them diligently. So first of all, notice that for those of us that are parents, when it comes to having spiritual conversation, this would be something for us to glean from, model. There is this teaching of our children that is to be done diligently. And it says, notice how clear the commandment is, you shall teach them. And them is the commandments, the statutes of the Word of God. You shall do that. And you shall do it diligently. And then I want you to just see how it says it. And shall. Do you see the T word? What is it? Talk. Talk. Open up our mouths and talk. Talk in everyday life about the Word of God. Talk it, teach it, and do it diligently, consistently, pouring it into their mind, into their heart. Now, please read the rest of this chapter today, because it will give you the why. It will give you the why. And I don't have time to do it, or else I'm going to get sidetracked. You know me, and I'm going to preach Deuteronomy 6 and not get to my message. So please read the rest of Deuteronomy 6, and you will see all the reasons why God, through Moses, was telling the people during that time, and God still says it to us today, why we are to teach our children the Word of God and to do it diligently. And notice how he says, talk of them when you sit in your house, so inside, in the living room, in the dining room, so in the house, and when you walk by the way. So when you're driving down the road, when you're running your errands, picking them up from school, whatever it might be, and when you lie down. So at the end of the day, there is to be this diligent teaching them of the Word of God, and when you rise. So it's to be inside the house, outside the house, beginning of the day, end of the day. But the gist is, right, everyday life. It is to be spiritual conversation is to be used in everyday life. So parents, we've got to get our minds wrapped around that. If there's a gap there, we've got to close it. In other words, if we only talk about spiritual things on Sunday, on the way home from church in the car, right? We got some little bit more we can do there. Would you agree? Yeah. So we got to open up spiritual conversation all week long. It's every day. You kind of got to be ready for it at all different times of the day to teach them what the Word of God says about all kinds of things as life comes at us, as life transpires. You're not ready for what's going to happen every day. You know, so what is it, how does that shake out? And so we had Christ exalting discipleship kind of conversation about what it looks like to lead our family spiritually according to this verse. And it took up our entire time, was just this verse. It's what you get when a pastor is your small group leader. You get parts of his sermon, and that's what we were doing. But I want you to see that one. Spiritual conversation is used in everyday life. Now I want you to see a second general reference that I'm trying to give us about this topic. It's found in Psalm 145. Turn there if you would, please. Psalm 145. And I want you to see one verse of scripture. It's really verses 11, 12, and 13 of this psalm that have to do with the subject. But I'm only just to have us do some work on verse 11. Psalm 145, verse 11 says, Now, this is referring to spiritual conversation concerns the things of God. Now, I'm going to explain that. Spiritual conversation concerns the things of God. Have you heard that phrase before? Yeah, you've heard that. It's somewhat of a churchy term. I think if you've been around Christianity for a while, you might hear somebody say the things of God, you know, or something. But it's like, what is that? What are the things of God? Anyway, I hope us understand that right now. So that's what we're talking about, though. Spiritual conversation has at its, what it's concerned about is about the things of God. So it's not like all of our other conversations about the things of this world, the things of our money here, the things of our careers here, the things of the future of our kids here. We're just things here. No, spiritual conversation concerns itself with the things of God. And here's one place where we see this. Psalm 145, verse 11 says, they. Now, they, to give us the context of this psalm, are the righteous. The righteous. So believers, worshipers of God. They shall speak. Did you see that again, too? Did you see that again, too? Come on, guys, stay with me. They shall speak. So we also need to get this sort of relayed in our foundation again, too, as Christ followers in this world. We do have a responsibility before God to stay, dare I say, militantly committed to the work of the Lord in the world. We shall do this. It's not like when it seems like it would be a good opportunity. Please, let's start getting away from that. No, we shall do this. We shall speak of the glory of your kingdom. And notice the next word. What is it in the ESV? And tell. There it is again. Speak and tell of your power. Now, I'd like to give you a cross-reference right there. It's Daniel 2:44. If you want to make a note of that, that'll help you further understand what I'm trying to say here. I want to give it to you first before I mess it all up. Daniel 2:44, and you'll get an idea of what I'm trying to say here. The things of God would be, according to this psalm and using this verse to stay in contact, context would be, and you could picture this if you were talking to someone. I'll do this. I'll say something like, yeah, but God's power or God's kingdom is more powerful than any kingdom on the earth. I'll say something like that. What am I doing? I'm concerning, I'm making sure this spiritual conversation concerns itself with the things of God. So in other words, God's kingdom and the fact that God's kingdom is going to come one day with power, that Christ is going to come back. I hope you and I are on the same page here. I hope, because what I'm trying to do as trying to be a faithful pastor with you in our church is make disciples. Did you hear me today at church? So if you're an attendee, I get that maybe a little bit. But after a while, it's whether or not I have received Christ as Lord and Savior and whether or not now I am on mission as a disciple of His. And so it's not foreign for Christians, for disciples of Jesus, to talk about the kingdom of God on planet Earth. That's not. That would be normal. That would be a normal spiritual conversation for Christ's people on the planet to have, is to talk about the kingdom of God and to talk about how one day it's going to come again with power. And to introduce that into our conversations, that Jesus Christ was here once, and so we can guarantee He'll be here again, just like He said He would be. And so we concern the conversation around the things of God. And you could, again, do some more reading. You could read read verse 12 and read verse 13, and it'll keep unfolding for you more just about the kingdom and how our conversation is one that should concern itself with the kingdom of God. I could say, we could probably say a lot more about that, but that's the second sort of just general reference I wanted to give you this about spiritual conversation, is that it concerns itself with the things of God, God's kingdom, God's ways, God's word, God's spirit, God's future, the work of redemption in the past, the cross work, the work of Jesus on the cross, the resurrection, all of these things. We take what we know, the truths of God's kingdom, and concern ourselves with that in the conversation. Here's number three. It is, spiritual conversation is also the habit of, I'm going to go ahead and say it this way, the saints. Now, saints, if you're like, ooh, I don't like that word, just know, biblically, saints are believers. Saints are Christians. Saints means holy ones. So that's you and I. If we're in Christ, we've been made. He said, be holy, for I am holy. We have been set apart, is what that means. We're sanctified. And so you and I are, by biblical definition, saints. Now, I know that sort of sounds weird if you have a Catholic background or anything like that. And you're like, I'm a saint. I thought so-and-so was a saint. You know, you're telling me I'm a saint. No way. I'm not. No, according to the Bible, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you've been born again of His Spirit, and you are indwelt by His Holy Spirit, you are in the process of cultivating a holy life. You are living out holiness, and so you are a saint. You are, by definition, you are among the holy ones. Now, I would love to give a lot more context on Malachi 3. If you turn there, I want you to see this. Spiritual conversation is the habit of the saints, of the saints. Malachi 3, verse 16. So it's the last book in the Old Testament. But so it's the time frame in redemptive history where it's about 100 years, if I remember right, after the exile, after they have returned from exile. So it's 100 years after God's people have returned back into the land of Israel after being in Babylonian exile. They've now come back. And so it's been a long time, though, since they've been back. So the initial revivals of Nehemiah, the initial revivals of Ezra, reinstating the law and all of that awesome stuff when you read the book of Ezra and you read the book of Nehemiah, all of that's over. 100 years past. That's all worn off. It feels almost like today. Now, I know we're nowhere in the same place of redemptive history today where they were then, because in the future for them, John the Baptist is going to come and he's going to start pointing to Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And so that's, you know, we're on the other side of that. Praise God. We're not in that. We're in a different time. But there is some association with how the people had gotten so hard. The society had gotten so hard toward God and toward His law. And they were now sort of destitute. like sort of given up, and they were upset. They were like, and they didn't see the relevance of their Jewish past because they were sitting in still a despondent state. They didn't have any fresh word from God. There wasn't anything happening in their lives during that time, but it was also because they had rebelled again. They were also reaping the benefits of having gone through another cycle of their relationship with God, where they turned on the Lord by doing some things that were in direct disobedience to what he said not to do, and they chose to do it. And so they're also, that's why they're where they are. And so they're now kind of got their finger starting to come back around toward God. And so that's sort of the vibe of the society during that time. And when you get to verse 16 of Malachi 3, it's a major transition. So what I just all shared with you is kind of like chapter 3 leading up to verse 16. But in 16, it's a major transition. You see insight into the heart and the behavior of the of sort of what we might call the remnant, that there was still within that larger society a hard-heartedness towards God, a pride and an arrogance toward God by way of the society. There was this small group of people, though, that did something. They still had spiritual conversation among themselves habitually. So when they got together in a hard, spiritually hard culture and a spiritually hard society, the habit was for them to have spiritual conversation, not political per se, not financial per se, not preferences or anything like that, or complaining, or no, they would get together. And it says in verse 16, then those who feared the Lord, it says they spoke with one another. Now I brought my King James up here, and it says, it's just a little difference of a translation. It says, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. Just wanted you to bring that. I wanted to bring that out because that's what I'm trying to say, is the spiritual conversation that they were having during this time, it was a habit for them to have it. A habit for them to have it. They did it often. They did it often. Very concerning for me, for us as disciples in our church, of Trinity Church, and of our small groups, when we get together, that we don't talk about the Lord. Right? Like, that just doesn't make sense to me. Like, Bo, what? No, just doesn't make sense to me. Like, I'm a Christian, I'm in Christ, you're a Christian if you're in Christ. When we get together, what's in common? Yeah. Who's everything to us? Yeah, who's directing us? Who do we need? Who are we appealing to and looking to? And right, it's him, right? So like when we get together, who should we be talking about? Yeah, Christ, it would be very natural. It'd be very natural that when we get together as brothers and sisters, our habit is to have spiritual conversation. So just be a habit of ours. Okay, that's the third one. Again, these are just general references throughout the Bible of spiritual conversation. Okay, that's what these are today. Here's the fourth one. We've said it a lot already, but it's in Luke's gospel, and it's that Christ is the topic of spiritual conversation. But I just want you to see an example of it. Maybe we'll move through these next one or two kind of quick. Look at this in Luke 24, verses 13 through 14. You see these two disciples, we call them two disciples on the road to Emmaus. This is after Jesus was resurrected. We see conversation between Jesus and these two disciples. Jesus just shows up as these two gentlemen are leaving Jerusalem and they're walking to Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem to the north. And the Lord appears to them. And when he appears to them, he expounds the scriptures to them. They have just this incredible time with the resurrected Christ. But I just want you to see verses 13 and 14 because notice how they respond. It says, that very day, two of them, that is these two disciples, were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were what? Do you see the T word? So they're talking, right? They're talking with each other, though, it says, about all these things that had happened. And that had to do with this Jesus of Nazareth, who died, rose, all the news at that point that was spreading like fire about how Christ, there was an empty tomb. He had been put in this tomb and this stone rolled away and the angels and the disciples. And so all this is spreading now that Jesus is resurrected from the dead. And so that's what they're talking about. That's what I wanted to ask you this morning. What effect has the resurrected Christ had on you so that then there would be a sort of natural leading or disposition to converse about him? Because he is now your everything. Like, he rose from the dead. I'm basing my entire future upon what happened to him. So it's very easy for me to talk about him. He's the topic of my conversation. He is the topic of my conversation. It's a line I've been meditating on lately. It's just the way it's landed in my mind over the last few weeks. It's just kind of bobbling around in there still. I like this term. Have you considered Christ? It works. I don't know. You guys can come up with your own, ways to ask, to take what is real in your life. Christ is the topic for you, but then how to get that to be the topic of the conversation? How do you get him to be the topic of a conversation that you're going to have with someone? I think that's just one of many ways you could say something like that. Well, have you considered Jesus? And it'll just be insightful, the response, because then you're probably going to, it'll open up other things, other opportunities. But Jesus Christ is the topic of a truly defined, to be faithful to the definition of a spiritual conversation. It has Jesus Christ as its topic. So that's not just spiritual conversation. I am not interested in spiritual conversations. You know what I mean? We could talk about Wiccans. We could talk about Mormons. We could talk about Islam. We could talk about... I want to talk about Jesus. I want to talk about Jesus Christ. You talk about Jesus, it pulls everything down into its place. Everything. The entire universe gets pulled down into place. Focused, razor sharp, when you just focus on Jesus. They used to say to us, it still works today, it's great. How do you know how do you know the truth from the false? So like when they would print money, how do you know when money is a counterfeit to the real? Do you keep studying all the counterfeits to understand all the criminals out there and their new strategy and their new counterfeit and all that? Do you keep studying all that? Or do you just know the real one real well? You know the real one real well. That is how you then deal with all the counterfeits that are out there.
What a pleasure it has been to have you join us today for this edition of Truth That Transforms. Pastor Bo has given us some good things to think about, pondering things of God, things of His Word, things about the world around us. We know there's so much more to learn and appreciate next time, but we're trusting that what you've taken away from today's edition will have a profound impact for the day at hand. To stay connected to our ministry and what's going on, we want to extend an invitation to join us this weekend. We meet at Palm Bay Magnet High School in Melbourne, Florida. Come at 10 a.m. on Sundays, or for a youth service at 6:30 p.m. on Wednesdays. As you scroll through various media outlets, make sure that our ministry is a part of what's feeding your soul. We're on Facebook and Instagram and would like to bring encouragement to what you're seeing and taking in. You can also go to our website to find more resources. Just go to trinitychurchmlb.churchcenter.com. There's a tab at the top titled The Gospel. This will give you a comprehensive idea of what it means to know and be in relationship with God. If you have any other questions, you can reach us at 321-676-8992. That number again is 321-676-8992. We'd love to speak with you about any of these things. That's all for today's edition. But we look forward to you joining us again as Pastor Bo teaches. This has been Truth That Transforms.
Hello there. This is Bob Arthurs from Merit Assembly of God and the Refresh Radio program here on WMIE 91.5 FM. I want to say thank you today. I want to say thank you to those of you who in the past and are currently supporting WMIE in this radio ministry. This is a ministry. The programs, the teachings that go out are able to go out because of your support. It is a listener-supported ministry. It's funded by donations. And for those of you who currently give, I want to say thank you. I can tell you that there have been lives that have been saved. There have been people whose lives have grown as they've heard the teaching that goes forth here on WMIE. And so if you have been a faithful supporter, we want to say thank you. I also want to extend an invitation, and that is if you are listening to the Refresh Radio program, that you reach out and say, you know what, I want to be a part of that. One of the things that we do with our missions program is we tell people, there are people who are sent, there are people who send, and we want to be one of those too. And so you may not have a program here on WMIE, but you can make the programming possible. The equipment, the transmitters, the facilities, all of that is done because of people who reach out in faith. So if you've been one of those supporters, we say thank you. If not, and you feel like God is leading you, we want to say welcome to the ministry. I pray that you would reach out 321-632-1000 so you can be a part of what WMIE is doing.
Well, I didn't know that Jesus was all was all I had. I thought I was strong and I could make it on my own. Lord, I was nothing but a fool. 'Cause when I got so far down with no friends anywhere around, that's when my Jesus came shining through. And I didn't know that Jesus was all I ever needed till Jesus was all I had. That's the truth. A changed man, he's always holding my hand. I'll follow him till my dying day. 'Cause through my pain and misery, he was always there with me, even after I had lost my way. Jesus, all I ever needed till Jesus was all I had. Let me say it again. I didn't know that Jesus was all I ever needed till Jesus was all. My sweet Jesus was all. Till Jesus was all I had.